want to read something that I've read several years in the past, a couple times. Naturally, we didn't do it last year because last year was a crazy year. And we love our mothers. I was sitting down here, and I was reading through this, and I had tears streaming. I said, I want to try to get my tears all out before I get up here. But I looked at the pastor, and I said, this is going to be a bad day. And the older you get, as many of you know, the older you get, the more sentimental you get. You miss your mom. And first of all, moms, stand up. All mothers, please stand. We want to recognize you. All mothers, please stand up. Wow. We love you. Thank you. You may be seated. And don't forget, we've got a flower for you. Just a little something to, and maybe Adrian or one of the deacons will be out back and help hand the flowers out. But this is something I want to read, and if I get teary-eyed, just sit and listen, and it's so appropriate. And my mom was such a spiritual leader. My mom went home to be with the Lord on 2009. And you know, we all have special memories. We all can remember things. And I lived right next door to my mom and dad. And I'd be out there washing dishes and looking out there. My mom was a little thing. She's not like me. She's just this tiny little thing, you know. And she would be there. She'd come walking across. Next thing I'd know, she'd be walking in the door, Carol, Carol. And I just stand still there because, you know, I knew, you know, she just wanted to come and just chit chat. And you know, it's amazing. I can actually today see her walking across my front yard. I'm sorry. Mother. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is this the long way, she asked. And the guide said, yes, and the way is hard. And you will be old before you reach the end of it. But the end will be better than the beginning. But the young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children. She gathered flowers for them along the way and bathed them in the clear streams. And the sun shone on them, and the young mother cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. Then the night came, and the storm, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold, and the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle, and the children said, Mother, we are not afraid, for you are near, and no harm can come. And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary, and the mother was weary. But at all times she said to the children, a little patience, and we are there. So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, Mother, we would not have done it without you. And the mother, when she lay down at night and looked up at the stars and said, this is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardship. Yesterday, I gave them courage. Today, I'll give them strength. And the next day came, strange clouds that darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped and stumbled, and the mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw the clouds. Saw above the clouds an everlasting glory, and it guided them beyond the darkness. And that night, the mother said, this is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God. And the days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years, and the mother grew old, and she was little and bent, but her children were tall and strong and walked with courage. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was as light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill. And beyond they could see a shining road and golden gates flung wide. And mother said, I have reached the end of my journey. And now I know the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone and their children after them. And the children said, you will always walk with us, Mother, even when you have gone through the gates And they stood and watched her as she went on alone. And the gates closed after her. And they said, "We cannot see her, but she is with us still. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence. Your mother is always with you. She's the whisper of the leaves as you walk down the street. She's the smell of the bleach in your freshly laundered socks. She is the cold hand on your brow when you are not well. Your mother lives inside your laughter, and she's crystallized in every teardrop. She's the place you came from, your first home, and she's the map you follow with every step you take. She's your first love and your first heartache, and nothing on earth can separate you. If you still have your mother near, cherish and adore her. If she has passed, then never forget her, and not even for a second. For when you have passed, she will be the first waiting for you." Thank you.
Well, thank you, honey, for making us all cry. We could just go ahead and just right now to get it over with, just go ahead and bawl, and then we'll... But do appreciate those words today, and there's not too much that we could ever say to honor and respect and thank God for our good mothers. Turn your Bibles today to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. We could change the name of our church from Smith Grove Baptist to Smith Grove Bawling Church. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to preach today on the thought, "Mother, what's in your house?" Mother, what's in your house? 2 Kings chapter 4. And you know, I have noticed every year, of course, throughout the course of a year, a church has various types of services. We have different holidays we celebrate and different special times of the year, but it seemed like for whatever reason, it seems like Mother's Day turns out to always be somewhat of an emotional service that you can't avoid. I know that all services have their significance, but there's something about this service today that it just gets on the heart, you could say. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, 'Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him to my two sons to be bondmen.' And Elisha said unto her, 'When shall, or what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?'" You'll notice that question, "What is thou in the house?" "And she said, 'Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full.' So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, 'Bring me yet a vessel.' And he said unto her, 'There is not a vessel more,' and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest.'" Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, today we bow before you in your holy presence. And Lord, we thank you for the sweet spirit in this service today, the honor and the tribute that has been sung and spoken in honor of mothers. And what a significant and precious day all of us today reflect upon our dear mother. And our Father, we're glad that you gave us the privilege of having exactly the mom that we have, had or have. Now, Father, speak to hearts this morning. Encourage us and help us to understand perhaps a little bit better the hallowed role of a mother and her importance in the home and the significant contributions that a good mom can make to a home. Now, Father, bless today this service, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Coming back to the question within the text of this portion of Scripture, Mother, what's in your house? Mother, what's in your house? This being Mother's Day, I'd like to develop all my thoughts around the topic of the mother. I want to preach today in her honor. I want to bring a message today that hopefully God will use to help us to understand more than ever how precious a mother really is. Now, going to the context of this portion of God's Word, I will begin today, first of all, by having us to think about the context here before us. What was the chain of events that had happened? What was it that led to this account? What is it that the context would lead today or give to the thought behind my message? The prophet, Elisha, he asked this poor widow, who was a mother, two questions, which would prove valuable in the end. Now, questions can be valuable, as we all know. Questions help us to examine who we are, where we are, what we need. Questions, many times, will bring us to reality in terms of what is needed in our life. I think of a question one time that God asked Moses, "What's in your hand?" And you know the great significance of that question. What if this mother would have ignored the question? What if she would have pretended that things weren't really as bad as they were? When she was asked the question, "What's in your house?" What if she would have ignored the question and pretended that she had adequate resources? That would have been disastrous. Her family could have starved. There would have been no means. Her husband, according to the passage here, had died with an unpaid debt, and the creditor had come to collect. Now, incidentally, the law at that time, as far as the Old Testament is concerned, the law at that time allowed for the creditor to take the children as servants. If you read Leviticus chapter 25. So her children could have been taken from her presence. She literally had reached the end of the rope. She was down and out. Her resources were gone. She had nothing. She was trapped. She literally was trapped. She had hungry mouths to feed. She had a household that was in a dire strait. Her husband had died. Now what's she going to do? She was trapped. She reminds me a little bit of a mother one day that had come walking through the house and happened to notice behind the curtains in the living room, she could see the legs of her child, of one of her children, that reached out beyond the curtain. And she heard that child uttering to herself. The child was saying, "I got to get out of here." And that's basically, in a sense, how this mother felt. What is she going to do? She's in a major strait. The oil is depleted. There's no resources. And so the prophet said, "What's in your house?" I want to approach this message today with some simple points. Give some simple points to my outline. We notice, first of all, she found herself in misery. That's very clear. She found herself in misery. She didn't know what to do, so she turned to the Lord. And I'll tell you, that's significant. She didn't know what to do, but she did look to the Lord. I think of that verse, "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." I tell you today, our world needs to be gazing more at God and His resources. We need to be looking up instead of around so much. Instead of all of the time dwelling on the problems, we need to lift up our eyes into the hills from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Thank God our help today still comes from the Lord, regardless of how hard times are getting. She realized that no one but the Lord could get her through the mess she was in. Her disadvantages, incidentally, turned out to her favor. Her problems, incidentally, turned out for her good. Her small resources turned out in the end to be a lot of resources. Her weakness turned into something that has strength. Her inabilities turn into her ability. That's how it would happen. She didn't have much, but she had something to begin with, and she was willing to begin with what she had. It's the old adage we've heard many, many times, little is still much when God is in it. It's always much when God is in it. She had to do something. She had to assist the situation somewhat before she was to be assisted. She was told what to do. They went out into the community. They borrowed vessels. Those vessels were returned. She then would pour the little meager amount of oil that she had into the vessels, and the oil kept coming. The oil kept pouring. And eventually every one of those vessels that they had borrowed, she had borrowed, was filled. And I mean, that's an Old Testament miracle. That was God. That was God doing something. So she had to assist before she could be assisted. Boy, does that clash against government practices today. Boy, does that clash against the welfare system, the giving, giving, giving system. I'm telling you one thing about President Biden. He sure does have a lot of money to give out, doesn't he? I mean, I'm not nearly so much thinking about the politics as I am a principle here, though. There's a principle that we need to understand. You see, the government currently assumes that people have nothing, and so the government basically is teaching people you still don't have to work, just sit and wait on a check. You don't need a job as long as we keep giving to you. But the plain old work system that made America great, if a government would get off the backs of people and do what it's supposed to do and let people be what Americans are supposed to be, then I'm telling you our country could get back on the right track again. It's a good old work ethic. It's a willingness to do something, to get out there, to roll up your sleeves, and to get a job. I tell you, you're looking at a person this morning, I'd rather work at McDonald's and make hamburgers, as long as it's a job, rather than sit around waiting for daddy government to send me a check. Now pardon me for getting into that a little bit. I didn't really mean to. This is supposed to be that soothing, calming, crying, bawling type service. And I kind of got off track a little bit, but I do get mad sometimes. That old righteous indignation flares up in my soul when I think of how this current corrupt government is taking this country down to nothing. And every American ought to be as mad as I am anyway. Every red, white, and blue, every person today that has red, white, and blue blood in your veins because you love America, I know you feel the same way that I do. But let's now get back to my message. But one thing for sure, the prophet didn't drop a big check on that lady's step. The prophet basically said, now here's what you need to do. Send your sons out. Let them go to work. Let them go around the community. Let them borrow some jugs, some vessels, and bring them back. And then that was when the miracle would occur. So assist. Now her background became a workshop in the hands of God to teach her valuable lessons on faith, on trusting God, and seeing God work. She was able, through her inadequacy, to see the power, to see the goodness, to see the hand of God at work. She could have asked the question, why me, O Lord? I'm a preacher's wife. By the way, her husband's the son of one of the prophets. Her husband was a preacher. She could have said, why me, Lord? I mean, my family, my household, my husband is working for the Lord. He's been faithful all of these years. And why is this happening in a preacher's household? She could have moaned and groaned and complained and said, I just don't deserve this treatment that I'm going through because of who I am. But no, she's willing to lay that aside and learn a lesson from God. She's willing to see the Lord do something. She cares for her family. She has real faith. She has real spiritual maturity. She's willing to stand up and be a good Christian in light of everything else that was going on. I think a major key is at any given moment, let's focus first on being a good Christian. Let's just be a good Christian. We don't necessarily need any titles. We don't necessarily need any acclaim. But we just need to be a good Christian. And a good Christian is a person serious about the Lord. They love the Lord. They read the Word. They have faith in what God will do. They're looking for a miracle from the Lord. But at the same time, they don't shirk responsibilities on their own. Her little pot of oil wasn't much, but it still would become valuable. She was blessed more because she started with little. Look what she would have been, what she would have missed if she would have been well off. Look what she would have missed. She was blessed because she had little, not because she had a lot. Because a little became much. If everything would have been well, if her resources would have been there, if she would have had all of her elements together, one could believe that she would have missed the miracle. But when she had nothing, that's when she learned a lesson. That God can take our nothings and turn them into something. God can take our inabilities and turn them into a ministry. And let's never forget that. I'm looking in the faces of people today that know what I'm talking about. You've come to the ropes many times. You've come to the end of your, the end of your oil. You've come to the end of your strength. You know that your strength is weak. You've been up against the wall time and time again. You've come to the place where you just didn't know what to do. But you have found time and time again that God is able to do exceedingly above that we're able, but will always, with the temptation, make a way of escape. Notice secondly, she was sent on a mission, as the text bears out. The widow and her sons were sent out to scour the neighborhood, borrow all the pots they could. They bring the pots in. They close the door. They took the skimpy amount of oil that she had and began to pour that skimpy amount of oil into those pots. And miraculously, the oil kept flowing. The oil kept coming. She had just a little amount. But I'm telling you, before it's all said and done, every single pot she borrowed was full. By the way, there's another good point to be made there. Had she have known, she had kept her sons out there. She would have been out there herself. She would have scoured the neighborhood, and she had come back with double the amount of pots that she did get. Had she have known. And you know, I kind of see that as a principle that reminds us all that very few of us, if not all of us, could see more from the hand of God if we trusted Him more. We could see more pots full if we're willing to trust God more. But sometimes we're thinking, well, this is all I need, this is all God can do, but why not just keep on going? Keep on trusting. So I see that as a principle in that text, but think about that. She could have had a lot more pots full if she would have kept going. She filled every vessel until all of the oil stopped. When the vessels were full, the oil quit. The increase of oil was in proportion to her faith. When you stop and think about it, the increase of the oil was in proportion of her faith. Because again, go back to what I said, she could have still kept going out, getting more pots and more pots, trusting God to fill more pots. I believe today that if God can fill one pot, God can fill 10 pots. I believe the Lord today can do even more if we trust Him. It kind of reminds me of the two men that went trout fishing. One of those trout fishers was an unusual fisherman. He'd catch a fish. He'd measure it. And if that fish was larger than 12 inches, he threw it back in. He threw all the big ones back in. His friend kept noticing he was catching nice big old rainbow trout. And every time he'd catch one, he'd take out his measuring instrument and measure the trout, and anything larger than 12 inches went back in the drink. Finally, his friend said, "Now what's the deal here?" He said, "I always thought when you go fishing, the prize is the largest one." He said, "Why are you throwing all the trout back in if they're 12 inches or less?" The man said, "Because I only have a 12-inch frying pan." You know, I believe this morning that God wants to give us 12-inch blessings or above. But the problem is we have an 8-inch faith. I think that's the problem many times. Then, notice thirdly, she witnessed a miracle. She did. The miracle was worked behind closed doors. Did you note that? And in the presence of believers, the doors were closed. This took place in the presence of believers. Now, there's several things we could say. Number one, if the world would have seen it, they would have marketed the occasion. But number two, in which I think the main reason, is because only the people of God will really recognize and see the hand of God at work anyway. Because only the people of God have a quickened heart and a mind to understand what God is doing. So why not do it with closed doors? The world wouldn't understand. Now, just like today, the world doesn't understand what's going on inside those doors. The world today, most of the world, doesn't understand why I even have church. Now, granted, There are a lot of churches open, but some of them you'd be better off just stay home. I mean, if you go to a church and hear a message on the social gospel that leaves the blood of Christ out, that doesn't preach a death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you may as well stay home. Because that's false preaching. And you're better off to stay home rather than go to church and get indoctrinated into something that is anti-gospel. But we have a closed-door religion, in a sense. We come to church for a reason. Christ is in our heart. We have joy in His service. This place is teeming with joy. Oh, we shed a few tears today, but behind the tears, the world doesn't see our hearts, though. Only the Christian can rejoice through tears. It happens all the time, doesn't it? Oh, yes, it seems like the older we get, it seems like tears just come more natural, but let them go. I mean, Jesus wept. Tears are not a sign of weakness at all. The strongest person who ever lived, namely the Son of God, wept at the tomb of Lazarus. So if I have to weep, I'll just go ahead and weep and you help yourself. And like I say, we'll turn into church ball babies for the right reason. That's fine. But here's a miracle that took place behind closed doors because only this family could know and appreciate what God really did. God lets His people in on secrets. She witnessed a miracle. She had enough oil to pay off her debt and keep on living. When it was all said and done, probably it was olive oil. Olive oil is a treasure, very precious. So by all of the olive oil that was accumulated in those vessels, imagine how that would have gone over in terms of the price and the value and how it would have marketed in those days. So when it all ended, this woman had more than enough to take care of her family. Her story is memorable with lessons to learn. Number one, we learn that our extremity is God's opportunity all the time. Our extremity is God's opportunity. My home life, as I look back this morning, my mother was a good mom. And I think Mother's Day is an appropriate day to pay tribute and honor to our mothers. I had a good one. Y'all have already heard about my mom. I'm not going to take any more time. You know about my mom. I've written on it. I've talked about her. And so you pretty well know my mother was an old country woman who told it like it was. But she was serious about raising her kids right. And while some of us went astray for a while, I think my mom would be relatively pleased right now. Out of her batch of 8 kids, she did turn out 2 boys that happened to become a preacher. And I have sisters that go to church and serve the Lord and love the Lord. And I thank God for that. So why? Why did that happen? Well, God's grace, number one. But in spite of all of the problems that my mother would have had, no mother's perfect. In spite of her imperfections, God still saw fit to bless her family of 8 kids with children that grew up, to the most part, who love and serve the Lord. So my home life, we lacked in money, but we never lacked in love and care. I can surely tell you that this morning. Had a good mother, known to shelter and cherish her kids. My mom would fight for her kids. I heard of a traveler one time that went to Africa. And he crossed through a place where there had been a fire. And the traveler noticed in those embers was the remains, the carcass of a hen. Interestingly enough, that traveler noticed that there was some movement under that carcass. And to his amazement, he found that beneath that carcass, in that heap, were some baby chicks that had survived. The mother hen's love calls the hen to give her life for her brood. And I look at that today, and that somewhat illustrates how it is with a good mother. Today I think of two special mothers. My biological mother and my mother-in-law. Two special mothers. And back in 2009, when my mother-in-law went to heaven, I wrote a poem back then, 2009, to her honor. And I want to close today with what I wrote. And I think this applies to every mother that knows and loves the Lord. Here's what I wrote. She was a good sport who would smack her grandkids' mouths. She was the life of our Christian family time. She was a wife, a mom, and a mother-in-law. She was Mary and a church member of mine. She was my next-door neighbor and my second mom. She was counselor, advisor, and friend. She had a good sense of humor and a song in her heart. She kept pictures of her grandkids in the den. She loved to move furniture, knew how to bake bread. Her spaghetti and meatballs were great. Her coconut pie couldn't be matched. Her rigatoni's the best I ever ate. She made pepperoni and nut bread at Christmas time. Those peanut balls were a treat. She would stay up all night on Christmas Eve, a tradition she was committed to keep. When she came to her house, there's one thing for sure. She would expect you to eat before you went out the door. She was a keeper of home, a gardener of flowers. She ran a dorm for her grandkids in school. She was a lover of fun, a wife second to none, the Bible her main book of rule. She was a godly Christian, a model mother, a faithful wife to the end, a supporter of a church and lover of God. Old-fashioned Christian living was her trend. Last of all, she was my mother-in-law, the best I possibly could have had. Her love and respect were always displayed. Her convictions were plain, I could add. Best of all, she was saved by grace and lived her life for her Savior's glory. Though now she's not here and tears fill our eyes, we rejoice in our mom's life story. Her life will live on, for she is really not gone. She's now healed, happy, and free. She's been to Calvary and now called to glory, and her Savior's face she now sees. I'll tell you this morning, that's what it's all about. It's about having Christian mothers. It's about godly women. It's about women being 31 Proverbs women. It's about women loving the Lord, serving the Lord. Oh, I'm not saying it's not about men and children. All you know, you already know, I know that. But this is Mother's Day. And I encourage every mom today that know Jesus as your Savior. First of all, look up towards heaven and rejoice. And thank God for who you are by the grace of God. Realize that what you embed in the life of your children will be treasures and knowledge and wisdom far more important than they'll perhaps ever learn in an institution of higher learning. Amen. Realize that you have a key that no one else has. Realize that you have a role that no one else can feel. Realize that your role is honored. I put out something this morning on Facebook, and you know I'm kind of prone to do that. The mothers must be pretty special. Well, the second member of the Trinity came to this earth through the womb of a mother. And so if you get a chance, I don't have that before me, but read it when you get a chance. A mother is a special person. We love you. We thank God for you. We couldn't do without you. This is your day. But guess what? Every day is your day, in my opinion. Because you have a role that no one else will ever feel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, this morning I pray the Holy Spirit will see fit to take this message and encourage the mothers that are out there that are watching, viewing, seeing it here today in this service. If there happens to be someone right now as a mother that doesn't have the resource of God in his life, in her life, the grace of God is her sustenance, may they right now, if they're not saved, trust the living Lord and realize that only through salvation can they have the really adequate services they need to mother their children and to be the asset in a home that God would have them to be. If there's any mother listening, Father, I pray that right now they'll call upon you and ask you into their heart and life, and encourage the mother today that might be discouraged and defeated, and help them realize that, Lord, you must think a lot of them because you've invested them with a role that no one else can fill but them, and they're special, and help them to know it. If some need to come today to this altar, just pray and talk to the Lord and ask you for more guidance in their life, may they do so. But bless this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jim, what